Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Those water temperatures dipping into the 50s and low 60s, that's a good recipe for dragging, say, the trestles or the causeway. Pick up a few nice trout. Fill me in on what you're seeing so far this month as far as those bridges go.
Well, the causeway has been a real disappointment for the third season in a row. You know, we've had those a few fish here and there, just kind of like what you're saying. You get a few, and then you think it's going to go, and they just don't show up in the numbers. We actually fished out there Sunday on a report that a few fish had been caught earlier in the week, and it was just a handful, but I thought it'd be worth a look. Fish Sunday, nothing, really tough, no marks, no bait. So yeah, it's been real hit and miss, but this time of year, typically, you know, they do start showing up for some over, you know, east and south, a little bit more towards the trussles. That's where we're going to try today. I can give you a little better report on that. And Wednesday we did a little, experimental stuff with, we've got an underwater camera, and we actually ran to the, eastern reef there that's off of the causeway just to kind of take a look and see what was going around there. And that was pretty cool to see the structures and stuff over there, but we've got some learning curve on getting some good footage on that, so I'll have to report to you a little bit later on how that comes out. A little operator error there, but definitely kind of a cool tool, and I'm kind of excited to see what those structures and what's going on with the growth out there.
Now that's the reef. The reef falls off of out of Mandeville?
Out of Mandeville, right, correct.
Yeah. Okay, I bet that's interesting. Andy, trolling, what's the magic temperature that you're looking for out in that water? You've been monitoring the water temperatures?
Yeah, you know, once the temperatures drop into the high 60s, 69, around 70, we start, you know, in the fall, we'll start hitting that trolling pretty good. And then it can get kind of tough once it gets into the low 50s. But it's still very doable. So that low 50s up into the high 60s is a sweet spot for trolling. And, you know, we've had a ton of rain this year, and the condition of the water is dirty, makes it a little tougher. But when you've got fish spread out like this, it's a good way to try to locate a few and get on them.
Yeah, and trolling, usually you pick up the bigger fish for some reason. What's your trolling setup?
We use two outside rigs with the mirror lures, so we'll run those on. I've got a T-top, and we have rod holders out the side. We run those, we run it kind of a mid-level. And, you know, on that, with that lip mirror lure, depending on how far you let it out, gives you your depth. So we'll run that anywhere from 6 to 8 feet. And then we run two lead lines off the very back, and that's our bottom rigs that we fish those. Usually the depth is 14 foot, so we'll be right around the 14, 13 foot mark up to about 12 foot. So just a couple of feet off the bottom.
Oh, and man, and, you know, I've been with you, and, you know, what's funny about trolling, it's like one pole seems to be the favorite for all these fish. Isn't that the case?
You know, we mix up the colors, and you try to figure it out. Once you find out what they like, then you can kind of go with that. So you're using a rattle trap, usually with a trailer on the shorter lead line rods, and then, you know, you can mix up your colors on your outside rigs as well. But yeah, once they have a particular color, it's funny. You can see them go for it, and it's kind of like jiggins the same way. They might favor something. You know, there's some great guides out there. They'll switch those colors over and over and over again until they find the one they like, and then they're on it.
Yep. Andy, we saw a lot of sheep's head being caught last month. You still seeing that this month?
A few. On our Sunday trip, we did make a run over toward Lacombe. We pulled a nice, just a great boxer of the lake out of there. It was a monster. Have seen a few over here, but I'll tell you, they've been sick around Isla Marina, Lake Catherine area, along with the redfish. They've been on all the cuts and bridges. You can pretty much go anywhere in there and guaranteed to pick up a few. No shortage of them for sure.
Yeah. And around this time, you know, you don't think about bringing market bait out there, but it may be a good idea to bring some along. Our last report was someone who couldn't manage any specks or red, switched over to the bottom and caught a box of sheep's head, you know, saved their trip. So always good to bring along some frozen shrimp, and not just this time of the year, you know, all the time for that matter.
Yeah, it's good time. And, of course, you know, live shrimp gets real scarce this time of year. It's hard to find it. So, you know, you kind of have to go with the market shrimp, and it's a good fallback. And when you have the real dirty water like this, using that market shrimp on the bottom will a lot of times produce for you. When, you know, you're having tough times with everything else, find some deeper pockets and get on the bottom, and you can be surprised. You know, when you're trying to look for that clean water and everything's muddy, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Absolutely. Redfish, Andy, man, the numbers of redfish being caught here, and not only here, you know, across South Louisiana, probably the best we've seen since they started imposing limits. You catch a lot of redfish?
I mean, it's fantastic. Everybody, you know, really, as tough as the trout have been in this area, the redfish have kind of saved it. Everybody's been catching them. And I mean, that's what the goal is to make sure that we have, you know, plenty of fish, and boy, they seem like that number is right on, because everybody's having a lot of success, some beautiful fish. And I think you and I talked about this last year when we had all those smaller fish on the causeway, I think those fish, you know, if they were any indicator, the numbers, we knew it was going to be banner, and man, it has been banner.
Yeah, a couple of brainiacs there, me and you putting it together. These smaller fish are going to grow into bigger fish.
Yeah. Well, I remember the frustration. We couldn't get, I think, seriously, around 200 fish, and I don't think we had a keeper out of the lot. I remember we were chucking. And then now, yeah, it's so hopefully that'll continue. I'm still hearing a lot of people that are catching, you know, some smaller 14, 15-inch redfish. There's still a lot of those out there. So, I mean, I think that's a good sign. As long as they're being handled properly and released properly, those fish should grow. And, you know, hopefully that fishery will stay strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything down the road as far as redfish go with loosening up the size limit or the total number being caught, or – you just mind that you should just leave it well enough alone, huh?
I think people are happy with when they go out and they're catching these fish. I think they've got a pretty good number on it. I haven't heard anybody wanting to change that or, you know, do anything with it. So I think, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. As long as they're not bothering those speckled trout, huh? Like body slamming them against the boat when you're trying to reel them in.
I'd like that fish back.
Andy, let's say someone wants to catch some redfish. Where are you pointing them towards this morning?
Well,
anywhere?
Well, I'm going to see. I'll be letting you know what it looks like over in Slidell. But right now, Lake Catherine is good. Lake Bourne, all the cuts in the intercoastal waterway have fish. You know, you just have to try to find as good a water as you can, but really I'm staying on the bottom right now with this muddy, mm-hmm. muddy. And, we've been having great success. We're going to go try a little trolling this morning, go try some different areas. You know, I like to run into those away from everybody and try something a little different every now and then. It'll pay off. And most of the time I come with my tail between my legs, but, every now and then we'll hit the front.
What's the water look out? You got, you're in view of the water right now?
Not right now. I was down there yesterday, and of course I was out doing that, camera stuff on the water on Wednesday, and it, you know, it's pretty silty, pretty muddy. We've had a lot of rain recently. I did look at the MODIS, and it looks pretty. A lot of stuff coming out of the Pearl. we need to get some east wind and push. some of that salty water back in, and I think that'll also help the fishing.
Yeah, yeah. Andy, back to trolling. I know you do a lot of trolling, and, you know, you've done it in the past. What's the strangest thing you've caught trolling?
You know, we've caught monster blue catfish, you know, in the 30-plus pound range, and flounder, believe it or not, have actually hit the rattle traps, and caught them on the trailers as well. So those are kind of two pretty cool fish that you wouldn't always think you would catch trolling, but definitely have. And, of course, you know, the redfish and trout are always a possibility.
That's amazing, catching a flounder trolling. Can't imagine that. We get a lot of questions about lead lines. Using lead lines, you know, to get those baits down, are lead lines an absolute must, or can you get by without it?
I carry them with me all the time. I mean, I like to have it. It's personal preference for a lot of people. I know guys that fish lead lines differently than I fish them. I use the shorter rods that you can pick up over at Gus's. So use those. I know guys that use regular Shakespeare. They like a lot of flex in the rod, and they'll use a lead line spooled up on that. So it's a personal preference. I like to have the water columns covered, you know, from that 6 foot to the bottom 12-14 foot. So getting that lead line, for me, it's imperative to give us that coverage in the lower sections of the water column.
All right, Andy, when you're starting up those Kraken hunts, I know you hunt down those big fish in Lake Pontchartrain. When are those starting up?
We definitely are getting some calls for that already, people getting excited. We'll start doing that in April. You know, had to kind of tell, I think people have got cabin fever and they're getting a little excited for this stuff. Fish just haven't, they just don't show up, you know, real good for that until it starts warming up a little bit. But we are definitely, we're hoping April goes early for us again. And we're kind of putting some trips on the books for that time frame, and then we'll run that all the way through the summer months.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that. All right, where can we go to get some information about booking a trip with Wicked Charters, Andy?
North Shore Fishing Report is the easiest thing to do. Go and click on that banner. Also, while they're there, they can check out all the other great sponsors, and they can find out all the fishing information they ever needed. You got tides, you know, it's all there. And it's a simple way to do it. It's a great site, and I hope to see everybody out on the ponds.
Great, great, great motto. It's all there.
It's all there. Really is.
Andy, well, good luck today out dragging those baits along the trestles. I hope to be getting some pictures of some beautiful trout on my phone in a few minutes.
There you go. Well, we're gonna definitely do some scouting around today and go check out some different areas. So I'll let you know what we see.
All right, Andy. Thank you. Be safe, man.
Thank you, Keith. You guys have a great day.
All right, Captain Andy Jones right there talking saltwater fishing, a little trolling on the trestles. Things should starting to heat up as far as speckled trout go. We're starting to see a few in some reports with some warmer weather, and it should get really good on those bridges. All right, up next, we're going to check in on the freshwater side, freshwater field reporter, to see where the bass are biting, or as some say, those green trouts, huh? Where those green trouts are biting. Chris Basie is going to join us after the break. Leave it tuned right here for more North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors. And welcome back. Keith Lusher here. All right, we're going to talk a little bass fishing for those who are targeting bass on the North Shore this weekend. Chris Basie joins us up next. And Chris is an avid bass angler on the North Shore. He's basically grown up here, knows all the rivers and bayous here on this side of the lake. He also runs Bass Assassins Bass Fishing Tournament that operates exclusively on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. So let's get to Chris right here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Keith. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing very good. You doing any fishing today, Chris?
Yeah, I'm headed out there right now. Me and my girlfriend are headed out fishing. So we're going to check
Where
out
you
Bayou Bomb Fluker.
So. Oh, yeah. Should be good. Should be good. When's the last time you've been out?
The classic,
yeah,
which was
talk a little bit about the classic, if you would.
Oh, it went off good. I mean, we, you know, leading up to it, I thought that it was going to be a tough one, and I mean, it really was. you know, Ronald ran away with it because he ended up with a good area. He got some good pre-spawn fish moving in and staging, and that's what he ended up just – he tore into them.
That was on the East Pearl?
Yeah, it was on the East Pearl, and, you know, a lot of spots like mine really suffered because I didn't have the sun to really position them good. So that's where he shined, because it was a cloudy day, and the fish were still out there staging and not moving in, so –
Yeah. Ronald knows so many areas on this North Shore. He's a strong contender in every tournament. Chris, wintertime bass fishing here. Let's start out with that. Now, I mean, we've made a jump. It's almost, man, just cranked right into spring, it looks like, with that big warm-up that we've seen a few weeks ago. It just jump-started everything. What are you looking for now? Is this what we call pre-spawn?
Yeah, definitely. Say like the last few months, you know, you got to move back into these bayous and hit these little corners or staging areas where the fish would stop at. Those are going to be the spawning days or the spawning areas. They're moving in there right now. And anywhere you know what is a good spawning area, you move out from there towards the main river or towards the main channel, and you'll start finding anything, stumps in the bottom, anything that they can stage on. And that's where they're going to be at right now. And actually, right now with this warm up, I'm hoping to go find some already moved up on the bed. So, it's from about mid, you know, along there going back into the spawning pockets is where I'm going to look at right now, where I'm going to concentrate at.
Okay. So, it's what they call staging, correct?
Right. Yes. They're going to stage in the pre spawn, and they're just fattening up right now, feeding up, getting ready. The males, a lot of males have probably already moved in. And the females are going to be following in the next couple of weeks or so.
Chris, I know you're a tournament fisherman. You guys come across those big bass in the shallows around spawning time, and sometimes they just won't bite a lure. Have you ever had one that you couldn't get to bite? And, you know, how much time did you waste on one?
Yeah, I definitely have. I had one at a tournament. I remember this one, actually, in Bayou Bonfuca. It was a male and a female there. And every time when I first got there, the female would just sit on the bed, and I would throw, and then finally she kind of just ventured off, meaning she wasn't locked down on it yet. She really wasn't decided on being there. But the male kind of stayed, but he was so darty that every time I would throw it, it would fly over his head, he'd take off. And then I would just sit there and let the lure soak on the bed, and he still would never touch it. He would come swimming back, and then when I moved the lure, he'd run. So I've, like, certain times they're not really locked in, and when they have a certain area on that bed that they're really, like, the sweet spot, people call it, if you put the lure on that sweet spot every time, when they have that, they will bite it, they will eat it. But if they don't have that yet, if they're just kind of moving in, they're going to get real spooky.
Waste some time out of the tournament, huh?
Right. Well, yeah, well, that's why, like today, when I go out there, I'm a free fish, and I'm going to find a fish. I'm going to throw to him, and if they go for it right away, I know he's catchable. You know, if I go to the next one, and he's just darting around and chewing around, I ain't even going to bother with him tomorrow. So you can tell right off the bat whether they're catchable or not by the way they act to your lure.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, few email questions to get to here. Maybe you can help with some. John Hendricks is in Folsom, wants to know some nearby options for catching bass. So he's in Folsom.
Yeah, I guess Chipmunk would be the nearest one, unless he's got a Lake Ramsey, maybe. I mean, the Chipmunk would be the closest. If not, he can go up towards Bogachita there where you and what's-his-name went fishing and made that video.
No, let's not recommend him to go to the Bogachita for the first time, man. That's suicide. I veto that.
Yeah, well, it's getting warm, and Chipmunk's pretty bad, too, during the warm months.
It's nothing like the Bogachita, buddy.
No. I would have to say Chipmunk's the best, so.
Chris, Tyler T. wants to know some launches around Bayou Liberty and Bayou Bonfucai. Just moved the slide out, wants to start fishing that area. So what launches are available?
Well, on Liberty, you have Bayou Liberty Marina right off of Thompson Road. And It's a $7 launch fee. I'll go ahead and hit you up on that one. It's a $7 fee, and it's an all right launch. It's got a little marina there. You can get lures and food and all. And then you've got, Heritage Park on Bayou Bonfuca, where it's a free launch. It's a nice launch, but you have a long no-wake zone when you leave that one. Like, it's miles. So you got to pick your poison. You're going to pay $7 and you get run and go to the lake right quick, or you can go for free at a nice launch, but you got to idle a long way. So you got to pick your poison on that one.
Yeah. All right, Chris, let's play a little game here. Got a few specific spots that I'm going to give you, and I'm sure you know these fishing spots. I want to know if you think they're going to be good places to fish this weekend or not. You can give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. You got it?
Yep, I got it.
Okay, let's start with Bayou Desert, and this is a small bayou that feeds into the Chifuncta River. If you know where the old Friends restaurant is, close to where this bayou, that's close to where this bayou runs out. Also, if you know where Starvation Landing is on Highway 22 in Madisonville, that bridge you go over, that's Bayou Desert. Chris, launch right there at the Madisonville Bridge, head north about 3 minutes, take a left into the bayou. Thumbs up or thumbs down this weekend?
I would say thumbs up. There's going to be a lot of spawning fish moving in there right now. That's a very popular spot for catching the spawn fish. So right now I would say thumbs up, but I would start towards the mouth of it and start working my way in it. I wouldn't go all the way back right now.
Okay, next spot. Now, I know you're fishing there this morning, so you got to still shoot straight with me. We're launching at Bayou Bonfuca at Heritage Park, heading down the bayou past the no-wake area and fishing those rocks by the Bayou Bonfuca Bridge. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Cricket? I got a tournament there, Marky. Now, I would
want to. You're fishing, huh?
Any rocks this time of year is going to be amazing, especially with the sun on them. But those rocks are kind of towards the main area in, like, the main canal, and they get a lot of traffic through there with tugs. And I'm going to have to say thumbs down on those particular rocks by that bridge. I would have to move back into somewhere away from those for right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But during the summertime, thumbs up on those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what's up for Bass Assassins? You got your classic down. When's the next tournament?
Tomorrow on Bayou Lacombe.
Bayou Lacombe. Ooh, Bayou Lacombe around this time. I know there's a few big ones going to be taken.
Yeah, but it also don't seem like rain much, and we've had some of that this week. So it's going to be a toss-up. Here recently, though, we have been seeing some good bags come off Lacombe, surprisingly. So I'm glad to see that. So like you said, we might get surprised and have a 10- or 12-pound sack come off of it.
Chris, I watched that video you did. You pre-fished your tournament last month. You updated your CB bassing video, and you caught a pickerel. How often do you catch those?
In the lock, a lot. You catch them a lot. A lot of times I think I got a good fish on, a good bass on it, just a darn pickerel, you know? But they're surprisingly a lot of them in that lock.
Yeah. And another thing you mentioned on that video is there was no wind, and you were talking about hopefully getting some wind to blow. Explain why you wanted that wind to blow over there on Lock 1.
Well, on the lock canal, you don't have tidal movement. You have a very, very slow movement of water coming from the north lock and bush down to the dam or to the weir. You don't have much at all water movement. So when the wind blows down that lock, it gets the water moving faster and better, and it actually positions the fish a lot better so you can catch them. You know, it's the same here in the bayous. You know, if you have no wind and no tide, the fish are just spread out. They're just scattered. They have nothing to position them, and they're hard to catch. So on the lock, I really want something to blow with the water and move it around so that I know where to cast and where to catch the fish at. So,
yeah.
That's what.
Well, all right, Chris. Anything I'm leaving out?
Not much. Just be careful out there if y'all going out. I know it's getting kind of foggy right now. So.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Chris. Keep me posted on your trip, man.
All righty, man.
Take it easy, man. All right, Chris Basie right there, talking a little bass fishing, Bass Assassins Tournament fishing. Thanks so much for him for joining us this morning. Great talking to Chris. And for those interested in fishing his tournament, you could just go to the website, NorthshoreFishingReport.com, for more information about Bass Assassins and other tournaments that are part of the North Shore Bass Series. All right, up next, we're going to talk a little catfishing. Up next, Todd Oldman is going to join us, point us in the right direction as far as catching some catfish on the North Shore, and also get his opinion on as to how dangerous it is to eat those fish coming out of the Chifuncta River. So leave it right here, and we'll pick back right up after the break. Leave it tuned right here for North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors. And welcome back to the North Shore Fishing Report. We're going from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock this morning. We've got a jam-packed show, so I'm going to get right to our next guest. Todd Oldman is on the line right now to fill us in on the catfish scene. I've been out with Todd to run those lines and caught some big catfish, biggest I've ever caught. I think it was 35 pounds. So Todd certainly knows where to find the catfish. He also keeps tabs on that Western St. Tammany Parish and Tangipahoa Parish. Todd's got a column in the Hammond Daily Star called the Tangy Sportsman. So let's get to Todd right now and see if he can point us in the right direction. Good morning, Todd.
Morning, Keith. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Are you on the water or are you at the ball field, Todd?
I'm fixing to head to the ball field. We got basketball and soccer today.
Making me tired already, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day.
All right, Todd, catfish in the North Shore. It certainly has numerous rivers and bayous to catch catfish, but you primarily concentrate on the Chifuncta River. Are you running lines right now?
Not yet. Still a little early for me. I usually wait until the Madisonville Boat Parade finishes up, and then after that's done, I set my lines out. So I still got a couple of weeks before I put things out.
Yeah, yeah, I like how you said that, the nice little boat parade.
Yeah.
All right, so what are some options for catfishing? Let's say someone wants to just use a rod and reel. What are some good areas?
Well, we got a lot of good areas along the North Shore here. If you're in the Madisonville area, I would always try the riverfront. That's always a great place. You know, you've been with me a bunch of times down there, and my lines are within sight of the riverfront. Plenty of big catfish, a lot of good eating size catfish there. So that would be my first choice. You know, if you had kids, I'd go upriver a little further to Fairview Park. It's a little, you know, not as crowded there, and kids can run and play and all. So I would go to Fairview Park if I was bringing some kids. And also that Mandeville Harbor. I've had good luck fishing right by the launch there for catfish during this time of the year. So that's three spots I would go if I'm looking to catch some good catfish.
Absolutely, absolutely. And earlier in the show, I started talking about catfish, and I got derailed talking about whole-fried catfish. I haven't had any whole fried in years. What's the best size for frying up whole fried catfish? Right around 12?
12 inches is good. To me, the smaller they are, the better they are. I love them just fry holes like that. And once or twice a year, I'll catch some, you know, 12 inches or so and just slit the sides and fry them up and eat them bones and all. They're just delicious. I love them.
And, Todd, something that popped up on the website earlier this week is the DEQ with the updated of Chifuncta River. Four meals per month of freshwater drum, spotted bass, or catfish. No more than four meals per month you can eat. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, that's been around a while. I think they raised the levels there or something. You know, we've been living on that river our whole life, been eating plenty of fish off of it, and nothing's ever really happened. So I don't pay much attention to that. You know, I don't eat it more than four times a month anyway. But, you know, I think I wouldn't let it bother me too much. And just stay within the guidelines and you're good.
Many people know about it.
Yeah. So, you know, but it's been there for years because I remember first time being about years ago and freaking out and wondering. And then They used to give you tests where you can cut a piece of your hair off and have it sampled, and we all did it. None of us had high mercury levels or anything like that, and we've been eating it for years, so I don't really put much stock in that.
You've been eating it for years, and nothing wrong with you, huh, Todd?
Well, my wife may differ, but I think I'm all right.
Todd, talk a little bit about it. You know that muddy taste you get with some catfish. Is that mainly from the pond-raised ones, or what exactly makes that muddy taste occur in some catfish?
Yeah, well, I think it's stagnant water. If you find them in a pond or a stagnant water area, they will get that muddy, fishy, nasty kind of taste to it. And a lot of times some people take mud cats and not realize what they are, and they have a strong taste to me. So I've always, the few times I've encountered that muddy flavor, it's always been stagnant areas, old marshes that don't get much tide fluctuation, things like that, ponds, stuff like that.
Yeah. What about some perch fishing or some bass fishing? You doing any of that? That seems like a summertime thing for you, huh?
Yeah, I hit it hard in the summertime, but right now is a good time to bass fish. I know you were talking to Chris earlier, and those fish are getting ready to spawn, so they'll be moving up to spawn any day now. And I think with this warm weather this week and the full moon, I think this week will really kick it off. And it's getting that time. Perch is still a little ways away. I think they're still pretty deep, but won't be long. It'll be going.
Yep. And I normally ask you about Salt Bayou because you fish that area, but I believe the launch is still down for the count with that bridge construction over there on Old Spanish Trail or Highway 433. You heard anything about the launch being accessible yet?
Now, last word I heard, it was mid-March, so we still got a few weeks to get back there.
Okay, well, at least we'll get the summer out of it, huh?
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll make a bunch of trips out there.
Todd, we played thumbs up or thumbs down with Chris earlier, and I asked him about the spot that you frequent, Bayou Desert, off of the Chifunka River. What say you, thumbs up, thumbs down for Bayou Desert this weekend?
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. It's a good little area, plenty of nice fish back there. I've caught, you know, bass back there up to 5 pounds. And as soon as you go into the bayou there, it's got a little shallow area, and there's some shallow areas as you get back to where the shipyard is, and those fish will move up and spawn there. So they may still be a little deeper, but they'll come up with this water temperature rise, and you can get some good fish back there. And I'll fish it from where it enters into the Trafunkta River there all the way to the bridge by Starvation Landing there. That whole little area is a good little area. A lot of places to pitch a jig and flip a jig and all in there.
All right, so a thumbs up from Chris and Todd. So,
there you go.
Good area to fish right now. Todd, did you happen to see that video I made with Barry Galloway where we fished the Boca Chitter? You ever fished that river?
I did see it. It's a good video, and I have fished it. I had an uncle that had a camp down there. It's a nice area. It's a little different than what I'm used to. But, yeah, we've caught, you know, the swift water and the sand and all that. But, yeah, we've caught some nice fish up there, bass and catfish. My uncle used to really run limb lines in there a lot, and he would fish with blood. And by the time you made a trip down the river and back, you would just steady running lines all night. But we caught plenty of fish in there.
Yeah, Barry knows that area really well. I tell you what, that river beat me. I just was not familiar with the banks, you know. Casting along the bank, I didn't know whether that lure was going to sink 6 inches or 6 feet. It's just the strangest thing I ever fished.
Yeah, it's much different. Yeah.
Yeah. Crawfishing season about to be here. You been out yet?
Not yet. I usually start about mid-March or April, around that time frame. But from what I'm hearing, it's going to be a pretty good season. So we'll see.
Yeah. About turkey hunting, you going to get a gobbler this spring?
I will attempt to kill a gobbler, but I cannot make any guarantees. I'm going to say I probably won't get one because I got some bad luck. But
set the bar low.
That's right. So I can only go up. So I'll be having a back against the tree somewhere come first week of April there, but I can't guarantee you there'll be a gobbler around me.
Yeah, and you're sticking with the same area you always go to, or switching things up?
I am going to hunt in the middle of Louisiana this year in some private land up there we have, and got some public land along there in the Kasashi National Forest, because our little hunting club we have is devoid of turkeys. We hadn't seen one in 2 years probably.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Todd, anything I'm leaving out here?
No, the only thing, the rainbow trout were stocked in Zamuri Pond about a month ago, and there's still a few out there and about. So if anybody wants to get out and go catch them, there's plenty of them out there still. And I went out last weekend and caught a few and saw some guys out there catching them. So, you know, it's a good place to bring the kids, and that's right in downtown Hammond, Zamuri Park.
Absolutely. All right, Todd, thanks for joining us this morning, man. And be careful, don't let any soccer balls, you know, bouncing out of bounds, hitching the head or anything.
There are some errant shots and some. I think basketball is more dangerous as these 7-year-old kids running around. But I'll be tucked in a corner somewhere watching.
All right, Todd. Take care.
All right, bud.
All right, Todd Oman right there, live from the Ponchatoula Recreation Field, huh? Bringing the kiddos to soccer and basketball. Not fishing, but nonetheless, giving us some good pointers. All right, that's going to do it this morning for the first hour of the North Shore Fishing Report. But fear not, another hour is right around the corner. We're going to be going from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this morning. Glad you could join us and stick around for another great lineup of guests. We're going to talk with Ray Miller, David Stewart of Island Marina, Lake Catherine. So check on, and we're going to talk with Mr. Green as well. So we'll pick right back up after the break. Keep it tuned right here for more North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.